the law assumed sermon, the gospel afterthought sermon, the God loves you anyway sermon. I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal. It's one of those famous encounters in the Old Testament. Maybe one of the most famous encounters in the Old Testament. This between not just Elijah and the prophets of Baal, but in some sense between Elijah's God and, well, the non-existent God. I think that's Elijah's point when he mocks Baal during this encounter with the prophets of Baal there on Mount Carmel. But it is an encounter, in some sense, between Elijah's God, the true God, and the false God, which is no God at all. Whatever else Baal must have been, could have been a demon, could have been the figment of the people's imagination, he is not God in any sense, and that is proven in spades. This is kind of the culmination of a long story being told about God's judgment on his people and his judgment for their idolatry. We're going to talk about that story with Pastor Tom Baker on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 19th. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
The story itself is pretty intriguing, but what leads up to it is several years of God's judgment. We have been experiencing here in the story of this that ends with this encounter, a drought that had come at the word of the Lord through the prophet Elijah that was judgment for the sins of the people, haven't we?
Yes. God had made very clear to his people that he had a promise to them. It was a covenantal, unconditional promise that they would be taken to the land of Canaan, etc. And he keeps those unconditional promises. But there was also a conditional promises depending on their faithfulness to him and their trust in his word. And the people fell away from trusting the word. Jezebel, who of course was the queen, had brought in some false teachers from her homeland, and people were worshiping Baal. It was a kind of a form of syncretism. It would be like somebody today referring to Allah as the true God and getting it all mixed up as to what are the true characteristics of the Holy Trinity, mixing Allah in with them. And that's basically what was kind of happening with the prophets of Baal and a lot of the people in Israel.
So this is a confrontation not only between God and the false prophet of Baal, Elijah and the prophets of Baal, it also is a confrontation between Elijah and Ahab, this wicked king who had led the people and was leading the people into this idolatry. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, at the beginning, Ahab was really trying to kill Elijah, but after these many years of drought, he finally saw that, boy, I better talk to this gentleman. And so they have this conversation, and Ahab does what normally people who are in trouble do. He refers to Elijah as a troubler of Israel. We find that not only in the area of congregations, but also in politics, that the person that is causing the problem is not really the person causing the problem. Listen to what Elijah says. I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now, that's what happens when conflict comes about. And when Jesus says, even to pastors or leaders in the church, that you're going to be persecuted, a lot of people want to blame the leaders in the church for that. And sometimes that's correct. But a lot of times it's because the people aren't following the proper commandments of the Lord to take care of problems, etc. And then there is division, and they'll always turn to the person that they have been attacking, thinking that he or she is the one that's causing all these problems, when in reality, Ahab is the one that's causing all the problems, because he is allowing the prophets of Baal and Asherah to lead the people in false worship.
And Elijah is kind of sets himself up in a situation where he is intentionally outnumbered, literally outnumbered, almost 1,000 to 1. There are nearly 1,000 prophets of Baal. And of
850 of Baal, 450, Asherah, 400.
And Elijah's the only prophet that we know of the true God. Talk about that.
Well, there's no doubt that there were other prophets. In fact, God himself tells Elijah about the thousands of people that he still has who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. That's 7,000 in Israel. But obviously, they're kind of afraid of what's going on. So when Elijah says, I only am left a prophet of the Lord, I believe what he's talking about is that he's the only one present at this place to represent the Lord. And all the rest, if they are prophets of the 7,000, they are in hiding.
So they gathered together to Mount Carmel at Elijah's request. What's going to happen here?
Elijah is going to challenge them. He simply says to them that we will sacrifice two bulls and you will put it on your altar, on your wood, and I will lay it, the bull I get, on mine, and we'll see which one of our gods, Baal or Yahweh, and that's the name for God, of course, that we got from Moses, which one of them will bring fire down and burn the offering. And the people all consented to this. And so what happens is these prophets of Baal, for hours, they end up praying to their God, and nothing happens to them. And they begin to cut themselves. And that is a pretty good example of what false religions do. Because every other religion except for Christianity, salvation is conditional. And it's conditional on the basis that you offer God something. And so if you have to offer him your own blood, that's what you do, which is a direct contradiction of what God says to his people. That it's in Deuteronomy 14:1. You are the sons of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves or make any baldness on your foreheads for the dead. In other words, God is not going to recognize self-suffering as a way of trying to convince him, we're on your side, God, so why don't you help us out? So you have these tremendous prophets doing all these things during the time, and Elijah starts making fun of them. He says, cry aloud, for he is a god, but maybe he's musing, or he's on a journey. Perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened, or he may be relieving himself. Now, that phraseology in the Hebrew is the only time this appears in the Bible. And it means that they're, you know, going to the washroom. And unfortunately, he's making fun of this God, and they continue to cut themselves, as is their custom, with swords and lances, until the blood gushes out upon them. Well, what they don't realize is the Christian message that the only blood that saves is the blood that gushes out of God who became a human being. And so they go all the way to the time of the oblation. We believe that that was a little festival they would have about the harvest near the evening, and no one paid attention to them, which, of course, no idol can. Then Elijah, he does three things that are really important, and you might miss it in the English. He, first of all, repairs the altar using 12 stones. And that reminds us, of course, of the 12 tribes. Then he takes 4 jars with water and pours it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And he does it not once, not twice, but 3 times. 4 times 3 is 12. And then when the offering is ready, Elijah comes near it and uses the true name of God. O Lord, that's Yahweh, the name of God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. So Abraham is making a clear distinction between the God of Baal and the God, the true God, the triune God, the Lord. He is God. And sure enough, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Totally, the whole sacrifice was burnt up. And of course, people then realized and said, the Lord, using the name Yahweh, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And then they seized the prophets and put them to death.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're talking about Elijah and the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18, teaching a Sunday school lesson with him on the other side of the break. This is pretty harsh. God is not dealing gently with these false teachers, and Elijah, as Pastor Baker just said, sees to it that they are put to death. What does all of this teach us, and what was it intended to teach then? Stay tuned.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
This is the work of the Holy Spirit. To say that not only has Jesus died, but he's died for you. And it's not only that he's risen, but he's risen for you. He isn't ascended into heaven just in some sort of abstraction, but he's ascended into heaven for you to intercede for you.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And that work of the Holy Spirit to press the events of the gospel, of the work of God, into our own hearts and into our own ears and into our own conscience comes through fantastically with those words for you.
You can meet and hear Pastor Brian Wolfmiller making the case for the for you of Christianity at our Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. You'll find a list of speakers, topics, and registration information at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Elijah and the prophets of Baal, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. Here's a little bit of what Growing in Christ has to say, this Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. The true triune God reveals himself at the altar, at Carmel's altar, with tongues of fire. He devours and licks up the whole kit and caboodle, bull, wood, stones, dust, and water. The people, face down in awe, cry, "The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God." But not only at the altar does God reveal himself. Upon the altar of the cross, atop Calvary, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, reveals once and for all that he and he alone is the true God. And all so-called gods and goddesses are devils masquerading as divinities. A good thing to teach our children about the Old and the New Testament right there from Growing in Christ, this great Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Call Concordia Publishing House. They'll send you a free sample. You can see for yourself. 1-800-325-3040. What is this intended to teach, Tom? First to the people there in the Old Testament, and then, as Paul assures us, all these things are written down for our instruction. What is it intended to teach and show us?
The first thing I would say in this day and age in which we are living in, these are true historical accounts. This was a true historical event. When I was at the seminary, while we still had liberal professors there, we were actually taught that one of the options here is that Elijah really didn't put water on the altar. He put something like kerosene on the altar. And then when he was able to get a spark going, the whole thing blew up. So it wasn't a miracle from God at all. I was actually taught that at the seminary. So the first thing is, the Bible is historical. And therefore, when it says this happened, it happened. The second thing that I would really want to stress, and this is very good for confirmation, youth and adults, is what is a God? One of the exercises I do when I'm teaching youth confirmation, I'll hand out a piece of paper and I say, write down the names of these false gods that the first commandment is speaking against. And by and large, most of the children will have names of other gods like Zeus or Poseidon or Allah or this kind of thing. And then I say, no, we need to understand the definition of God. The God is whatever you trust in when you're in a problem. And therefore, we start coming up with all kinds of other gods we have. Many of us have gods that may be money or a nice house or a wonderful family or all kinds of things. In fact, getting back to what you were saying about growing in Christ, they've got an excellent note there that these are other gods. If we succumb to the demands of friends or family members so that we fear, love, and trust in them above Jesus, then we are not worthy of him. If we do not patiently bear the trials that he sends us, then we are not worthy of him. If we try to save our lives for others, for our own pleasures, hopes, and dreams, and hold back anything from the Lord, then we will lose our lives. And so having another God is really important to understand. It is whatever you trust when things start going the wrong way. The final point is one you've already mentioned, and that, of course, is there is only one God. The fact that these people were trying to pierce themselves, though they do not know the gospel, they do have a pretty good understanding that life is in the blood. And therefore, if you pierce yourself, therefore maybe you're going to get God on your side. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The gospel says, yes, life of a person is in the blood. And remember, the very first thing God did with Adam and Eve after they sinned, he prepared them clothes from an animal whose blood had to be pierced. And that is found throughout the whole Old Testament, looking to the blood of the Messiah. We are saved not because of any piercing of my blood or your blood, but because of the piercing of the blood of Jesus Christ, who died so that we will never really die, and who lives so that we live eternally. When his blood was pierced, it meant that now him on the altar of the crucifixion was dying for us so that where our sins we will no longer be held accountable for. That's a tremendous gift, and we need to get that across to the Sunday school children, that they aren't saved by their works at all, even though works will follow spontaneously from true faith, but they will also be after that true faith. What we're saved by, what comes before our salvation, is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon the accursed tree.
It is disturbing to hear, but do these Sunday school children need to hear, with about 30 seconds here, Tom, that there are false gods and idols in the world in which they live too?
All they need to do is, the Sunday school teacher, take in your daily newspaper. Look at the religion section. And you'll see right now, I know earthquakes, hurricanes are terrible, but there are so many people coming together of different religions thinking that we all believe the same thing when we really don't. And that is really where the false gods are today.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Post a link to it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to begin a series with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House on the past, the present, and the future of confessional Lutheranism. It's an apt subject for us to entertain because we're ready to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. I dare say that not only are we lacking in our accurate historical knowledge of what the Reformation was, that's the past, it has affected what the Reformation is today and will affect what the Reformation may be tomorrow. If we want to stick to that Word of God that Tom has spoken so eloquently about here today, then we want to study the past to learn from it so that we might correct, if necessary, the present and might press toward the future with that bold confession of confessional Lutheranism. We'll talk about it tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.